Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now. Please join Father Cedric's message already in progress.
In the absolution, we say, may the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of his Son Jesus, forgive your sins. He's the Father of mercy. That's the God that we serve. A lot of people are afraid of God. He's going to punish me. He's mad at me. I like to say he's not mad at you. He's mad about you. He's the Father of mercies. And it's interesting. If you know anything about Catholicism, way back in the 5th century AD, the desert fathers started going off into the desert to pray contemplatively, silently, away from everybody. And they based their prayer, it's called the Jesus Prayer, on this very statement of Bartimaeus. And this is what they meditated on. Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on me. And they would echo that in their heart over and over again. You see, there's mercy in Christ. There's mercy in Jesus, and there's mercy for you. And that's what we're all about. No matter what you've done, as I said last night, no matter what the sin is, no matter what your issues are, there's no reason to stay stuck. You can move through the mercy of God. But first, you've got to admit it. You've got to admit that you're powerless and you need help, the mercy of God. And then you have to take responsibility and make a move. So he cried out all the louder. And I love that. Just to let you know, about 14 years ago, I went to the seminary, and it was an interesting seminary in Chicago. We had all kinds of people. We had women that went to the seminary, lay leaders. I was talking about that yesterday morning, and many priestly candidates and all kinds of different people. It's called Catholic Theological Union in Chicago. I learned so much in that seminary, all kinds of different disciplines. Studied the Bible. I got to study the Bible in Israel. I've been on that road to Jericho. You know, it leads up to Jerusalem. That's where Jesus was going. And let me see, there was scripture studies, there was liturgy studies, there was preaching, there was theology, there was history, there was ethics. There were so many different courses and disciplines that I took. It was wonderful. They form you, they round you out at the seminary. It was awesome, up in Chicago. Well, one of the courses that I took was this. It's called Christology. It was the study of who Jesus is. That's the term Christology. Who was he? You know, the greatest minds for the last 2,000 years have tried to figure this out. Was he a man, a myth, human, divine, a phony, a prophet, son of God, son of man? Who was he? Some of the greatest minds have tried to figure this out. Philosophers, theologians such as Augustine, Bonaventure, Aquinas, you know, all these great philosophers down through the ages, they've all tried to grapple with who is Jesus. And books have been written about Christ. In fact, I know I've had to read a lot of them in the seminary, books upon books. In fact, one scholar said one time that more books have been written about the life of Christ than any other person in the history of humanity, and rightly so. And there's been many books written by Fulton Sheen, by Philip Yancey, by Pope Benedict just wrote a book on Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, part one and part two. I've read it. Very scholarly, very scriptural, a little difficult to read. It'll give you a sense of Jesus. And I have written my own book on Jesus, as I was sharing with you, Come Encounter Jesus, where I talk about who Jesus is. Well, books have been written, all trying to grasp, trying to get a handle, trying to get a hold on who Jesus is. Not only have people tried to figure it out, books have been written, how about movies? Movies have been made about the life of Christ. For example, you've probably seen many of them. I have too. The Greatest Story Ever Told, that came out years ago. A movie that helped change my life was Franco Zeffirelli's Jesus of Nazareth. Some years ago, there was a movie out by Mel Gibson, The Passion of Jesus the Christ. That was a very powerful movie. Then years ago, about 19 years ago, there was a movie out by Scorsese that was called The Last Temptation of Christ. And everybody was picketing the theaters because you know what he did? He portrayed Jesus on the cross, a very human Jesus who, even on the cross, was being tempted by Mary Magdalene. And a lot of people couldn't handle that. Now, I'm not saying that I like the movie because I didn't even see the movie, because I didn't like that concept, but I'm just simply saying that movies have been made to try to grasp who Jesus is. Movies, books, poets, songs, people, prophets. Two words. In two words, the Gospel of Mark tells us who Jesus is. When Bartimaeus called out to him the second time, the Bible says, Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped. Is that the Lord that you know? You have to understand, he was with all kinds of important people. He had the throngs. Everybody loved him. He was real charismatic. Here's this nothing sitting by the side of the road, whom everybody's telling to shut up and get out of the way. And the King of Kings stopped. That speaks to me volumes about who Jesus Christ is and how much he cares for you and for me. He stopped. And picture the scene. You know, here's this big crowd. You know, they're all following Jesus shoulder to shoulder. Everybody's going down the road. Here's this blind beggar shouting and everything. Jesus stops. And I mean, you ever seen an accordion that's kind of scrunched together? That's how, like dominoes, all the people just kind of go scrunched. And then all of a sudden there was a silence, kind of like in here. With all these people in here, there was a silence. And then Jesus spoke. And he said, out of the silence, just like God, out of the silence of creation, he spoke, and there was creation. See, God's word is powerful. When God speaks, things happen. When God gives mercy, people are changed. And what did Jesus say? You know, he stopped, everybody's quiet, and Jesus said, call him over. Oh, there's a powerful word. Call him over. See, this is a call story. In other words, you know, Jesus was used to calling people. He called Matthew, a great sinner, at the tax collection booth. He called him, come follow me. Peter, Andrew, James, John, fishermen, he called them, come follow me. Now he's doing the same thing to a blind beggar. He's saying, call him over. And what I'd like to say is that, you know what? You have to listen for the call of Jesus in your life. I believe he calls every person on the face of the earth, first of all, to get to know him in a personal way, and then to proclaim him to other people. You watching by TV, you are being called right now to Christ. He is calling you over. Now, you might be thinking, well, how do you hear his voice? Is it this like loud voice that calls you? Well, not usually. A call to a vocation, for example, it can be in your heart, but most of the time, God will work and call you through books, through TV programs, good TV programs, good homilies, good preaching. He'll call you through music. He'll call you through creation. And he will call you if you can listen. Remember what I said about blind people? They have acute hearing. If you can listen, he will call you through other people. And that's exactly what we have here. Jesus said, call him over. And he told that to the people that were crowding around him. So the Bible says that when Jesus said that to them, they called the blind man over, telling him as they did, you have nothing whatsoever to fear from him. He's calling you. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. Time out. Aren't these the same people who a minute ago were saying, shut up? Now they're saying, get up. Isn't that just like crowds? You know, they're so fickle. It's just like, today, you know, the wind was blowing out there, you know, and the flag's going this direction. Crowds are like that. Whichever way the wind blows, that's the way crowd goes. And, you know, they go after reincarnation, you know, they go after the New Age movement. A lot of young people are going after Satanism, you know, all of that, because it sounds good and it seems to work and it's going to fill my cup. Maybe it'll make me happy. It seems easy. And, you know, crowds are like that. For example, you know, San Antonio Spurs were doing real well until they lost the first two games. And you watch, that's when all the boo birds start coming out. All of a sudden, you know, you love them, and then they start losing. You don't love them anymore. Because I've been to ball games, and I know what that's like. And that's the way crowds are. The same crowd that shouted Hosanna on Palm Sunday shouted Crucify Him on Good Friday. Same people. And that's the way crowds are. So, but yet God can use people to call you. And I want you to see that God can even, you know, in the Old Testament, God even used a donkey to call the prophet Balaam. And I always tell people, if God can use an ass to call a prophet, He can use your husband and wife or your boss to call you. So you never know. So they said to him, get up, he's calling you. Now, please get this. Here's the scene. Everybody stopped. Here's Bartimaeus. By the way, he had his cloak on, his mantle, the Bible said. You know, he's wearing that, and he's sitting there begging, and, you know, with his kind of like that. And now he's got the call. Jesus has stopped. He's calling you. Get up. Now, he had a decision to make, and so do you. You have to understand that change occurs by the grace of God and by your choice. That's what I wrote that book about. You can change. There's two things involved: the grace of God and your choice. Your decision and an act of your will is very, very important. If you only have one, it's not going to work. If you only have the other, it's not going to work. Your choice alone isn't going to work. And God's grace alone isn't going to work. You've got to have both together. Now, Bartimaeus was confronted with a choice. He's calling me. I've yelled to him. I'm sick and tired. Now, pay attention. Watch this, because something's about to happen. This is what Bartimaeus did. He made a decision, and he made a choice. He came to Jesus. You know, people everywhere are asking me, how do you change? What's conversion? You know, how do I change? Well, I don't know. I hope I told you to watch. I hope you didn't miss that. If you did, you can watch it later on TV. But this is exactly what happens here. In case you did miss it, I'm going to review it in slow-mo, just to make sure. We'll put these cameras on slow-mo, if you will. See, Bartimaeus had an eruption of trust. He had a resurrection of faith. Bartimaeus literally just rose from the dead, because instead of just sitting there stuck, he made a move. And that's so important in your life. You've got to understand that. I don't mean that you literally jump up from your chair. But I mean, in some way, shape, or form, whatever issues, wherever you're stuck, please review your mind and your conscience. Wherever you are stuck, you have to face that issue. You have to look it square in the face. And by the grace of God, admit your powerlessness and then make a surrender. And that's the way you change. By the grace of God, you can do it. You can go forward. You don't have to stay stuck. So the slow-mo is this. Okay. First of all, it says that Bartimaeus had a mantle or a cloak. You know, of course, you put these things on to protect you from the environment and keeps you warm and different things like that. So he was wearing it. But you know what? It was also symbolic. This was symbolic for whatever was holding Bartimaeus down. You know, it could have been, for example, doubts. You know, if I was born blind or if I had blindness, maybe I'd be doubting that God even exists or that God's mad at me. And maybe he had doubts. You know, he heard about Jesus of Nazareth, but whatever, he was doubting. Maybe he was afraid. People are afraid to come to Jesus because they're afraid of what Jesus might ask of them. And they're not sure they want to come that much. They want to kind of sit on the sidelines. And I found out that God's faithful. He'll never ask you to do anything he won't grace you to do. And he'll use you to really change people's lives and help people. And then, of course, it's symbolic for whatever was weighing Bartimaeus down, his issues, his self-pity, pride, laziness, passivity, anger, lust, you know, addictive tendencies, separated from God, you know, all these different things. And then it's interesting what the scripture said. The word in the Greek is, he didn't just take this thing off. You saw what I did. The word in the Greek is, they used it for throwing away garbage. He threw it away. You ever seen a jack in the box? It's got a spring underneath it. Once that top is open, boom, I mean, it's like the jack comes out of the box, you know, just like that. That's exactly what happened. Up he went. I mean, it was a resurrection moment for Bartimaeus. It's very beautiful. This is such a This is a classic conversion story in the Bible. The prodigal son is another one. I've got a TV show coming up on that. But Bartimaeus is another one. It's just excellent. And again, the word of the Greek is, once he confronted his issue and threw it away and said, I'm making a choice here, he was resurrected. And the word in the Greek, again, is he sprung up, kind of like a jack-in-the-box with a spring underneath it. He sprung up. And then please understand what happened next. He came to Jesus. This is the surrender part. Now, he's blind. He didn't even know where he was. He just kind of walked forward in vulnerability, in blindness, in nakedness, and he came. Notice how you come. This is the only way you can come. Tonight, when you go to confession, he came. He was blind. He was hurting. He was broken, and he was wounded. And that's the only way you come. Billy Graham used to sing a song at his crusades, just as I am, without one plea, Jesus, I come to thee. And that's how you come to confession. That's how you come to Jesus, even if you don't go to confession. You come just as you are. And he accepts you. Remember what I said last night? He's the universal receiver. He's not going to cast anybody out who comes, because remember, it's mercy, it's undeserved kindness. So here's Bartimaeus now. He comes before Jesus, and Jesus asks an interesting question. Same question he's asking you and me here tonight. Interesting. Of course he knew, but Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that one out. Of course he wants to see, but Jesus wanted him. So he wanted him to say it. And so, you know, if you're angry, tell it to Jesus. He knows it, of course, but do you know it? Remember what I'm talking about? Admit your issues. You know, if you're full of lust or envy or anger or whatever it is, you have to, see, you're only as sick as your secrets. Once you start to let it out, not to everybody, but to the right people, that's when you start to experience healing, because you're admitting it and you're allowing the light in. So he said, what do you want me to do for you? Oh, by the way, if you know anything about Mark chapter 10, that same question was asked a little bit earlier in the chapter. Mark chapter 10, James and John come up to Jesus. And they said, Master, we have a request for you. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Same chapter. And they said, we want to sit at your right and your left when you're up there in heaven. In other words, they wanted the place of position. They wanted the honor. They wanted the glory. They were after the selfish aggrandizement. So now, fast forward a little bit to the end of the chapter. Here's a blind man, and Jesus asks the same question, and he gives the right answer. The disciples didn't know the right answer, but a blind man did. And when Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Blind Bartimaeus said, in perhaps the most beautiful prayer ever prayed, he said simply from the depths of his heart, I want to see. God, I want to see. Actually, you know, when you look at the word in the Greek, it's, I want to see again. And it's telling us that Bartimaeus, perhaps at one time in his life, had sight, and he lost it. And you know what that tells me? I hear from a lot of people, Father, you know, about 30 years ago, I was in the charismatic renewal, and I mean, I was on fire with the Holy Spirit. And I mean, I had manifestations from God, and I love God and everything. But then, you know, my prayer life kind of waned and waxed and kind of fell into some sin, and I just feel dead inside. I feel like this spiritual desert. That's what we're talking about. And people want to see again. And what I think this story is telling us is that if you're willing to confront your issues and to make a move with Jesus and to surrender your life, this is conversion, I believe you will see again. It may not be the exact same feelings that you had before, but God will do something in you, because that's the nature of God. God is so merciful. God is so gracious. So notice what happens. He said, I want to see, and Jesus probably smiled, didn't touch him. It's interesting. If you read the accounts of this, he didn't touch him, didn't spit on his eyes like he does with other people. He just said, Bartimaeus, your faith has saved you. Your faith has healed you. In other words, remember Bartimaeus, when you jumped up and you said, I'm not going to stay stuck anymore and I'm going to make a move and I'm going to change. When you got up there, that's when the healing power of God hit you and Bartimaeus received his sight, and it all happened by faith through grace. You know what one of my favorite songs is? Probably yours too. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved and set me free. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And I'm praying tonight that grace will flow in this room, that grace, that's the undeserved favor of God, will flow to you watching by TV. You can feel it right where you're sitting. It's for you. God's calling you. Well, here's the end of the story. As beautiful as this is now, here's Bartimaeus. He's gotten up. He's made the move. He's got the sight. Wow, miracle story. As beautiful as all that is, you have to understand the Gospel of Mark. Mark's gospel was written in Rome, we believe, while they were undergoing persecution. So his community was falling away. And in a way, they were kind of blind. They were afraid of the persecution. They didn't want to be put to death. So it's about discipleship. It's about following Jesus, even when things are hard. So the end of the story is this. It says that Bartimaeus, once he received his sight, he didn't go back to begging, didn't go running home. It says that, get this, he started to follow Jesus on the road. And you have to understand something. Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem. Jericho was the last stop on the way to Jerusalem. Remember the Good Samaritan, the man went from Jericho to Jerusalem? It's not that far. And where Jesus was going was to be crucified. So now, Bartimaeus was on the road with Jesus. You see, no longer is he just sitting by the side, stuck in the muck. He's moving, he's growing, he's progressing, he's learning, and he's going forward. And I have to tell you something about discipleship. It's not easy. It's not the New Age movement. It's not reincarnation. And it's not all these other things that people just try to feed you because it's easy. No, following Jesus is hard. Jesus said, you've got to take up your cross and follow me. So when you make a move tonight, please understand that it's not all about you know, warm fuzzies. It's about radical discipleship. You can do it or he wouldn't call you, but it means commitment. Commitment to Jesus. If you're married, it means commitment to your spouse. Being faithful. It means being generous. It means giving service. It means living with passion. It means giving your heart to God. Spending time with God. And that's exactly where Bartimaeus followed Jesus on the road. Okay, so here we go. Where are you tonight? Are you kind of sitting by the side of the road and you're kind of stuck and not really moving? Well, now it's your time to make a decision. And I am hoping that you are going to get up and follow Christ in a radical way. You need to confront one, two, or three main issues, sins, areas of your life that's holding you down. You need to make a decision to get up by the grace of God, and not only to get up, but to say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to live with passion. I want my life to mean something. I want to make a difference, and I want to live flat out for you. And so this is conversion, and those of you who are watching at home, I hope that this opens up your heart to change, because I want everybody here tonight, and I know you want to change. I want you moving forward. And again, I'm just going to say this. When you're on the road, it's about maturity, progression, moving forward, changing, and becoming. And one of my favorite sayings is this: who you are is God's gift to you, but who you become is your gift to God. And I'm praying tonight that you're going to make a move. So let's all, hold it. Like Bartimaeus, you're sitting by the side of the road. Jesus is calling you. What are you going to do? You've got it. You know it. You know that. You've got it back there. Thank you very much. Come on, let's make a move. All right, you're springing up. Very good. I've got goosebumps for you people in the back that stood up because you know exactly what you were meant to do, but also all of you because you weren't quite sure what I was saying here. But thank you for making a move. Now, here's all I want to do. Like Bartimaeus, let's just surrender. We've done the first part. We've made the decision. Let's make a surrender. This is our act of contrition. And let's pray together. Oh, by the way, folks at home, you can go to my website and go to, if it's Easter, Advent, Ordinary Time, Lent, just click on that and you can get the same sheet that we have here tonight and same examination of conscience. And together let us pray. Jesus, I have sinned. I am sorry. Have mercy in your kindness. I want to make a move and change. I want to see. I make the decision to follow you. Amen. And I pray for you all and those of you watching by TV that you'll face whatever it is in you that you need to face, that you'll admit your powerlessness, you'll surrender to Jesus, get on that road and follow him the best you can. And may Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.